اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. So a few days ago we began discussing the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we explained that how nice it will be that a person who makes his Hajj, perhaps Hajj might be once in a lifetime, Allah tabarak ta'ala grant us the chance to make Hajj again and again. But Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Hajj with the people of Islam was one. It was known as his one Hajj, Hajj of Islam. Before Hijrah, he had made many Hajj. But those Hajjs were not according to the law of Islam. When the law of Islam finally came, and that final details were going to be given, that now Hajj will be like this. After the Hijrah, there was only one Hajj. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning told Sahaba radiallahu anhum, learn from me the laws of Hajj. And it's amazing in one journey how many laws were learnt. There were many things that the Arabs were doing with the Hajj. They had learned the Hajj from Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. There were many things that were going to be kept as is. There were many things that were going to be changed. If you have to think of 100,000 people, over 100,000, and they have to see one person, and in that one Hajj they have to learn what they have to do and what they can't do. So think of our small Jamaat. Example, we had 60 people going for one Umrah. 60 people. We felt it too much. We said, 30 you take, 30 you take. Thereafter, with the phones, contacting this person, that person. If somebody after that one Umrah has to be told, now can you make Umrah? That person will say, I hardly was able to see the guide. Now you got a Jamaat of over 100,000. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam surrounded by 100,000 is like, you can't see him. But the Hajj that he made was recorded so well that the rest of the world now will be able to get the surat, the form of Hajj that we have. Allah tabarakala wanted it that there were going to be certain things that some would see and others would not see. And because there was only one Hajj, there was going to be no way that next year now you could sort out that one confusion. So some things in the Hajj would remain confusing till the end. And ulama will take different views of what was that amal, that action. Because of which in the issues of Hajj there will definitely be ikhtilaf, difference of opinion. How we have in Salah, how you will lift up your hand. In Hajj you definitely going to get, you will get a lot. Because only one Hajj. And the one who saw, and he narrated. I'll give you one example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's in his masjid, or in the place where the tent is put up, and he will say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. He will start his talbiyah. Like what we went to Dhul Hulayfa, now there's a masjid. There was no masjid there. But he read 2 rakat salah. Some will say that was his 2 rakats of farz. Another will say that no, it was 2 rakats meant for the ihram. Because one time it was. Now does he say his labbaik there? So the one who's sitting close to him will say he said labbaik there. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out, he gets on his camel, he says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. So the one who's there now, when they will ask him, tell us about the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he never saw the first Labbaik. So he would say he read Labbaik when he got on his camel. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes to a certain point which is higher, which many others can see. Another sahabi sees and loudly says, Labbaik. So when they will ask him later on, you were there in that Hajj, tell us, where did he say his Labbaik? He will say he said it there. Now when scholars will come, they will see this narration. This Sahabi is a great Sahabi. But that Sahabi is also just as great. He is also just as great. They will say, he can't be wrong. Then they will sit. So some will say, no, he made at all three places. Like this, the Hajj will take place. In the beginning, the Arabs had a law that you can make Umrah, but you don't make Umrah during the days of Hajj. When the months of Hajj come, it is only for Hajj. There was no such thing called you can make Umrah in the months of Hajj. That is why there is something you will hear, a word called Tamattu. Tamattu means that Allah gave us the chance to take benefit. It was a gift given to this Ummah. From Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's time, the Arabs only understood Umrah out of the months of Hajj. And if you want to make Hajj, you come for Hajj alone. Now imagine that long journey. How far? And when you land, few things will happen is if you can only make Hajj alone. And you must understand this is a gift. Because whenever someone speaks about 5 days of Hajj, then he also says always 5 days of Ihram. And we always correct him that there's no 5 days of Ihram. Ihram is only 2.5 days. Because the man when he has 5 days Ihram, but imagine if a man had to make what is known as Ifrad. And that's how it was in the past. Ifrad bil Hajj means when you reach the boundary, the Miqat. Example from Medina Munawwara, Dhul Hulayfa. And Dhul Hulayfa to Makkah Mukarramah would take about like how Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's journey. It took him about 1 week. So let's say 10 days. 7 days, 10 days. In that 10 days you're moving with Ihram. Or let's say me and you. If there was no Tamattu, then let's say last week we decided to come to Makkah Mukarramah. So even if the train brought us, it brought us with Ihram. But after we finished the Tawaf of the House of Allah, that was not going to be called a Tawaf of Umrah, because Umrah was not in that time allowed in the days of Hajj. So it would have been a Tawaf, like how you have Tahiyyatul Masjid, it would be a Tawaf of the Baytullah. After that Tawaf, you could make your Sa'i also. But that Sa'i wouldn't be for Umrah, it would be for your Hajj. Now you will remain in Ihram until the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. So whether you come to Makkah Mukarramah on the 1st or on the 4th, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters Makkah Mukarramah on the 4th. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. Now you're saying there are 7 days of Ihram. 7 days. And that's when you entered. What about before that? You call another 7 days traveling, 10 days traveling. 17 days in Ihram. 17 days in Ihram. So as soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches what we call Dhul Hulayfa, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, make the intention of Umrah. But the Arabs already had gone out already, understanding it's Hajj. Many of them had tied the Ihram already. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announces. He gives an option. It's an open game. They had done it so many years, for them 17 days in Ihram is normal. So when he says Umrah, some of them will not break the Ihram of Hajj. They will join that Umrah to the Hajj. They say, no problem, I'll make the Umrah, but I'll still remain in my Ihram. They were always doing it. This is called Qiran. Qiran means I'll make my Umrah, but I won't come out from my Ihram. It's not easy, because that means you come, you make your Tawaf of the Baytullah, you make your Sa'i, but after that you don't cut your hair. You still remain in Ihram. And you wait for the days of Hajj. Think when, soon as when we finished our Sa'i, first thing the guy was saying, where's the man to cut my hair? lot of people were saying, that guy there with the scissor, we're saying, hold on, like, you just have to go to the shop. He just wants to come out. When I'm coming out, you finish your tawaf, you finish your sa'i, and now you say, now remain sleeping, and you'll stay in your ihram. And when the days of Hajj come, it's around the corner next week. Next week is not around the corner at all. Qiran. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhu kept it. They were used to it. Some broke their ihram of Hajj. They were allowed. They went into an ihram of Umrah because the law had come now. You can make Umrah. دَخَلَتِ الْعُمْرَةُ فِي الْحَجِّ. Umrah has become in the days of Hajj. So some became only Umrah. I'll make my Umrah. And after the Umrah, when the time comes, I will tie. It was an option given. Then they came close to Makkah Mukarramah. When they came close, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that those of you who also made Qiran, who said that we're not going to break it, break it. Make Umrah and come out. Your wives are with you. Spend time with your wives. Not like our journey, remember. Our journey is, in Medina Munawwara, you all entered Ihram. You all took a 5-hour, 6-hour journey. Soon as you reach Makkah Mukarramah, by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you finished. There and there, the man asked, can I go to my wife? That was only yesterday, like you left her. Only yesterday. This was already 10 days. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go to your wives. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, that Hajj is around the corner. Do we even think of our wives now? We got 4 days, 5 days left. It's already the 4th of Zulhijjah. We're entering now. 8th of Zulhijjah is Mina. We're leaving for Mina. Must we now go to our wives? So when they said that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam now gave a command. Because why they felt like this is something low. That I go now to my wife and I'm going around the corner to Hajj. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he completes, they're making Umrah, they had no problem with that. They joined their Umrah to the Hajj, Qiran. So he made his tawaf of the Baytullah. He made sa'i. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, had something else. He had brought animals with him. This we don't know. It is called, you bring your animals. 63 animals. He brought it from Medina Munawwara with him. 63. And his age was 63. And it was an indication that according to the amount of years I have, for every year I am going to slaughter one animal. Ali radiallahu anhu was going to bring, on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Yemen, he was going to bring the remaining to end of 200. So 100 animals were slaughtered. And in that 100 animals, his niyyah will be for me and my ummah. It was an amazing thing for me and my ummah. That is why certain Sahaba radiallahu anhu had this habit, and in that habit remained in the Ummah. That people during the days of Qurbani, when they make one animal for themselves, they make one for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when he made, he remembered the Ummah. He made on behalf of the Ummah. But 63 with his own hand. Now this was not 63 sheep, remember. This was 63 camels. 63 camels. 63 with his own hand. Because he had brought his animal. If you bring your animal with, you can't come out of your ihram. So even if you made Umrah, the animal is still alive. And you can't slaughter it now after the Umrah. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself announced that had I known at that time what happened now, I would not have brought animals. I would also have come out of my ihram. So those of you who got animals, you have to remain in your ihram. But whoever doesn't have come out, Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had, Umar radiallahu anhu had, Usman radiallahu anhu had, Ali radiallahu anhu had, Talha and Zubair had, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. So they're not coming out. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu loved to only do what Allah's Nabi was doing. Now they are seeing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his best companions are not doing it. They're staying in Ihram. They can't cut their hair. And now he's saying to his Sahaba, cut your hair. This is a thing of love now. They don't want to cut their hair now. Then no, I can also stay in it. And he wants them to cut it. So then he makes dua that, oh Allah, those who will cut all their hair, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. He made on this occasion this dua. One other time he had made the dua also. That is when he came for Umrah alone. That time the Arabs never like to cut less. So they like to cut short. So he made dua, Allah, those who cut bless, muhallik, forgive them, forgive them. Every time he's saying forgive them, they're saying, what about the one who cut short? He say, Allah, forgive the one cutting bless. They say, what about the one cutting short? Say, forgive the one cutting bless. Finally, they say, what about the one? They say, okay, Allah, forgive that one also. But on this occasion, he even told some of them, cut short. Because when Hajj is going to come, you'll have to cut bless. He told some of them. But now when he saw some never want to cut, he said, oh Allah, the one who cuts bless, forgive him, forgive him. Because how hard it was now. He was teaching his Sahaba on this occasion that even love, above love, there's one more thing that's going to govern you. It's called Sharia. Their love was on a level that if my Nabi is not doing it, I'm not doing it. On this final occasion, he was going to teach them that my command when it comes to you, even if I'm not doing it, do it. And it was not easy. The wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had also joined their Umrah with their Hajj Qiran. But they had no animals with them. So all of them came out. They completed their Umrah. And they came out. Before entering Makkah Mukarramah on the 3rd of Zulhijjah, they reach a place called Sarif. On the 4th they're going to enter. On the 3rd of Zulhijjah at Sarif, Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is the most amazing how Allah tabarak ta'ala dealt with the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is Saturday, the 3rd of Zulhijjah, and that thing which a girl, a woman doesn't want to happen during Hajj and Umrah happens, meaning the bleeding. Her haze starts. And I had seen, when a woman's haze starts, she had seen it so many times in her life. But when Hajj or Umrah comes, and it comes out of its date, naturally that woman just starts crying. Just starts crying. And she just gets depressed. So Allah tabarak ta'ala was going to use Aisha radiallahu anha to console all the women of the world. She was the most beloved of the wives. But to use to console the wives, it was going to be her. When they reach Sarif, so many wives there are, all the wives are with, one alone, her period starts. Tomorrow they enter in. Had it pulled for one more day, she would have made a Umrah. And then if it starts, it doesn't affect Hajj at all. And the day it's finished, then you make your Tawaf Ziyarah. Hajj is done, Umrah is done. It only needed one more day. It's like a woman looking, when my period is, Allah, let my period not come, let it not come, let it not come. And then you reach right here, and suddenly it starts. Right on the step of Makkah. The 3rd of Zulhijjah, Saturday. Sunday, they enter and they make their tawaf. Umrah is done on Sunday. Her Saturday, 3rd of Zulhijjah starts. She starts crying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to her. Like, has your period started? So what you crying for? He says, this is something Allah wrote on the daughters of Adam alayhi salam. Meaning this is natural. Like, what are you crying for? But it's natural for a girl. That is why sometimes when they cry, like you tell them, stop crying. They'll say, I'm following her sunnah. Like, if she cries, what you stop? Just leave me, I'm crying also. But they don't understand that she had a difficulty. Everybody else made umrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you what you worried about. So here the ulama differ. Either she was told, let the days of Hajj come. Because remember when they started initially it was Hajj alone. And then join Umrah. And now you can't make Umrah. She will remain bleeding. 3rd of Zulhijjah it starts. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. Meaning, her whole time here is bleeding. 9th of Zulhijjah is Arafat, but a girl can go for. Only she can't enter the masjid. So her whole period is a period in a period. Her entire time in Makkah Mukarrama is when she is not fit to be reading namaz. How difficult that must have been. But she can go Arafah, she can go Muzdalifah, she can go Mina, you can do everything. You can't make tawafu ziyara. But Allah Tabarakala makes it on the 9th of Zulhijjah, her bleeding stops. On the 10th in the morning, she notices that I'm pure. She takes her ghusl. So when they come to make tawaf of ziyara, she makes tawaf of ziyara. But what about her umrah? So she was told, leave your umrah. Some say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her, break it. Some say, he told her, enter it into your hajj, and your hajj will suffice for it. Whatever it is. She made a tawafu ziyara, she becomes halal. But during the entire Hajj period, she remained in a state of blood. That was not easy at all. Everybody else is reading salah, she can't read salah. Everyone else is going to make tawaf, because definitely in that period, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, he was going to make tawaf. He would go quietly. Some of the wives would go with him, but she can't go. It's not easy at all. Everybody else is going, she's sitting in the room. Husband is going, she's sitting in the room. Husband came with his sister, his mother, they're all going, she's sitting in the room. You can give her Hizbul Azam, tell her, read du'as in the room. What du'as? She's just upset. And as the days go further, she gets more upset like. The tablet is not working. Why it's not working? On that, we learn one lesson. The tablet is not healthy at all. It got lot of side effects. Lot of side effects. And if a woman says, I'm no matter what taking the tablet, then she rather cup after that also. She rather do some cupping as soon as she goes back. She rather take it with some other herbal medication. She rather take a lot of honey during the days. Just to curb the side effects of it. Those women who take this pill to prevent childbirth, to prevent their periods, you are changing a natural system. Changing a natural system is like at the moment in the world, there is something called, let's play with the weather. We bring rain when it's not rain time. We create rain. We hold back, we drop the temperature, raise the temperature. And the whole world notices that when you play with nature, then it has to have a repercussion. The floods that the world is seeing at the moment, and the high temperatures, and the very high, and the very low. Now if a woman plays with her natural system, she must know that she's going to see repercussions. It does affect very greatly. If someone has taken it, they must make sure they take out that poison after that. Cupping is one of the best ways. You have to pull out that poison. You leave it in the body, it causes corruption in a very big manner. Aisha radiallahu anha had to go through those difficult days. What was the result of it? When Hajj finished, now everyone is going. She made Hajj. And as I told you, her tawaf of ziyarah in As-Sa'i was told, leave your umrah. Aisha radiallahu anha was not too happy, but she said, are everyone going to go back to Medina with the umrah and a Hajj? And me, one person, I must go back with Hajj only. So she was not going to be happy with this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a lot of liking for her. So he said, no problem, you take your brother, you go outside the haram, you tie your ihram, you go make a umrah, I'll wait for you. The place where he sent her is Tan'im. That masjid which you will hear about when someone wants to make umrah, says, how must I make umrah? You say, go to Masjid Aisha. Perhaps Masjid Aisha is the second biggest masjid in the entire Makkah Mukarram. That time there was no masjid there. It was just a point he told her, go there. Her sabr on those days was going to create a masjid which was going to be the second biggest masjid of Makkah Mukarram. And how many millions would go to Masjid Aisha? Zul Hulaifa people would. But if you're in Makkah and you say, I want to make Umrah, I say, where you want to go? You can go anywhere out of the Haram. Go to Masjid Aisha. Everyone will go to Masjid Aisha. Everyone will read two rakats in Masjid Aisha. In the honor of Aisha radiallahu anha, sabr on that day. That the whole world will remember her sabr. When Allah brings a condition, especially on women, and they make sabr on that condition, they must know what comes from the side of Allah will be much, much greater than what they wanted themselves. And when me and you, if we go to Masjid Aisha, and we say, if women have to learn this masala, we also have to learn. There are many a time where we want something and Allah wants something else. And if that person then accepts the decision of Almighty Allah, then Allah tabarak ta'ala gives after that so much also. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she got her masjid. Hajj finished. Laws were going to be taught with the wives. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's other wife, Safiya radiallahu anha. Hajj just finishes and her period starts. So she made tawafu ziyara and her bleeding starts. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now going to his wives. Going to Safiya radiallahu anha, he is fulfilling the rights of every wife of his. Aisha radiallahu anha says, hey, hold on, Safiya is not reading. She told me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, did you not go to make tawafu ziyara already? Because when she said she's not reading, the question was, did she make tawafu ziyara? Because if she never make tawafu ziyara, it means we can't go now back to Medina. Now I must wait for her another 7 days. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is she going to hold us back? So Aisha radiallahu anha says, no, she finished tawafu ziyara. But the last tawaf, what is called my farewell tawaf, we call it tawaful wida'alik. So here we learn a masala, and this is what is the wives taught us. After our tawafu ziyara, which will take place on the 10th, then you will come back, you will be tired, you will be in Mina. You might not have any strength to even go to Makkah. But you have to make one more tawaf. That tawaf, if you make it. So sometimes people on the 11th got strength. They come back, they make it on the 11th. And sometimes they say, I'll make one on the 11th, I'll make on the 12th, I'll make on the 13th, I'll make on the 14th. And my last one will be on the 15th. Some people got strength. So if you make one tawaf after tawaful ziyara, after your farz, that one tawaf is called your wajib tawaf. Even if your intention was not that this is my last tawaf. You only need one tawaf after the first tawaf and the work is done. Remember this. Because many a person sometimes gets sick. And he says, "Hey, I can't make my last tawaf." But you tell him, "Did you make one after the first?" He says, "Yes, that's your last tawaf." He says, "No, I never intended." You don't need to intend. Similarly, a woman, sometimes she doesn't know her bleeding will start. So she makes one tawaf, two tawafs. But she's intending, "After 3 days, I'm making my last," and then the bleeding starts. So her matter is done already. Any tawaf made after the first tawaf is your last tawaf. But let's just say someone never made that tawaf. Like Safiya radiallahu anha. She never made it at all. She made the first tawaf, and now when everyone is going for the last tawaf, she can't come. The law is if the period starts before that tawaf, it falls away. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "She made her first tawaf, yes." He said, "Then carry on, let's move." Again, the wives were taught. Because there might be one woman who will say, "Ah, like everyone is making the last tawaf. I'm not making it." So she tell her husband, "You haven't got money, change the ticket." So he'll say, "You know, Safiya, come, this is also sunnah, carry on. We are going to change your ticket." The wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were used to give tasalli, condolence to the woman of the world. The wives were used. Aisha radiallahu anha was used. Safiya radiallahu anha was used. Last, we'll end on this. Safiya radiallahu anha was found sad on this occasion. She was also sad. Like, "I'm not making that last tawaf. Just carry on." And just before this, during the days of Hajj, when they were coming, she lost her camel. And she really liked that camel. She lost it. Because she lost it, she started crying. Again here, on the days of Hajj, you might lose your bag. Or your wife might lose a phone. We saw an auntie lose a phone. An expensive phone. In the aeroplane she left it. How she cried at the airport. How she cried. Those people went and said, "We'll find it for you," but they never found it. Husband is telling her, "I promise you I'll buy a better one." She wants that phone. She wants that phone. So she cried. She cried. That woman will say, "If Safiya could cry, why can't I cry? Just let me cry." Radiallahu anha, Safiya radiallahu anha cried. Nabi Sallallahu said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Stop crying." A woman, when you tell her stop crying, she cries more. So Nabi Sallallahu got a little upset. He said, "Stop crying now." But she never. So he got upset and he went out. Now she realized that I made him upset. This was the wife's thing. She realized. Now how do I make him happy? So the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew one thing. That he would always wait for his day with Aisha radiallahu anha. He liked to spend time with her, even in ihram. He liked to spend time with her. He had a certain connection with her in Khadija radiallahu anha, which he had with no other wife. So to make him happy, Safiya radiallahu anha thinks that the best way is, she goes to Aisha radiallahu anha and says, "I need a favor. That today is my day. But instead of me now, why don't you come and take over?" So Aisha radiallahu anha will say, like, "That's something different. Where you'll ever give me your day?" He says, "Wallah, I'll never give you my day. The problem is upset with me. How do I make him happy? So if he comes in my tent and he sees you, then he'll ask, like, what's this?" So he said, "No, Safiya was like in a good mood. She told me to come." And then he said, "Wah, like." So Aisha radiallahu anha is sitting there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to the tent of Safiya radiallahu anha, it was her day. And he sees Aisha radiallahu anha. So he said, "What you doing here?" Aisha radiallahu anha had unique answers. Always her answers were unique. So when he asked, "What you doing here?" She says, "Dhalika fadlullah yu'tihi may yasha." This is the gift of Allah. He gives whoever he wishes. This is the gift of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam starts laughing. Like, her answers were unique. Dhalika fadlullah. This is the gift of Allah. This you can use when someone asks you, you got now, you land up here and now two groups are going to two hotels. One is going to the high hotel. Dhalika fadlullah. Yutihi mai yasha. Other one is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so happy, so happy. He says, Safiya did this. Safiya did this. He is so happy. So he comes out. He goes to Zainab radiallahu anha. Zainab radiallahu anha, his cousin also, his wife also. It's a journey. Zainab radiallahu anha got a few animals. She brought few animals with her. So he says to Zainab, give your sister one. He says, why must I give her? She lost her animal. So Zainab radiallahu anha was just in a mood on that day. Sometimes the wives are in a mood. Sometimes they're in a mood. Zainab radiallahu anha said that Yahudiya, meaning the daughter of a Yahudi, because Safiya radiallahu anha's father was the chief of the Yahud, and her husband was the chief of the Yahud. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just attacked that very close, and then she had a dream when she got married to the chief, that the moon from Medina Munawwara came and fell in her lap. So when her husband came to her, and it was just when she got married, she mentioned to him, I saw the moon. And he understood the interpretation, he slapped her. He said, you got big thoughts. You got big thoughts, he slapped her. And then it was within 1 or 2 days that the Muslims attacked and he was killed. When Safiya radiallahu anha was married to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was very short that he took her as his wife. She had the mark there. She asked, what happened here? She said, my husband slept with her. Why? He said, I saw the moon of Medina. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am that moon, isn't it? I am that moon that fell in your lap. So she was the daughter of a Yahudi. So Zainab radiallahu anha said, that one who's the daughter of a Yahudi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got very upset now. Like, why did you say that? Like, but this is how wives are. If you want, Lord, people say, like, Allah's Nabi had wives. You have to learn how to deal with wives. They were the best of the women on earth. But when the time comes, you have to be a person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got upset. So during the days of the Hajj also, he got upset. And when he would go and get upset, he would not argue and fight. He would just go away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very upset on this occasion because it was not a sentence that hurt him. He felt that sentence was not right for Safiya radiallahu anha. So as a punishment, he never go to Zainab radiallahu anha. When her turn would come, he would jump it. And she understood what I did was not right at all. So she was only in istighfar, only in istighfar. And must remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Hajj, within 2 or 3 months, he passes away. So imagine he had to pass away and he never went back to Zainab radiallahu anha. Almighty Allah was not going to let that happen also. She was a woman of charity. She used to give law charity. She used to make things with her hand and give charity. So when she loses hope in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming, she even folds the bedding. She's just crying. She even folds the bedding. Allah's Nabi is not coming. And as it is, he's not well. He's already not so well. And then she sees a shadow. But it can't be him. But she can see the shadow of a man. Say, who's it? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enters. As soon as she enters, oh Allah's Nabi, my slave girl. I give you my slave girl also. Take her also. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's not interested now in a slave girl. Now. He's already at the end of his life. But to fulfill the right of Zainab radiallahu anha, imagine how at that time, when his body was already in pain, he's so close to his death. He enters the tent of her house and he sees the bedding. He with his own hand, he goes and he opens it up again. With his own hand, he opens it up and he calls his wife and he fulfills her right so that his end of his life would come where I am happy with every one of my wives. How Allah Ta'ala made it, but how the wives dealt, how he dealt with them. When you learn seerah, you understand what a practical sunnah he was. How he thought, how the wives said something, he became upset. How he dealt with them. On that he taught us, you only got one wife to deal with. You only got one wife. They will cry sometimes. They will do something sometimes. You will have to tell them, don't cry. They will still continue crying. They will say, if the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could cry, why can't I cry? You will have to say how Allah's Nabi dealt with his wives. He made sabr here, he made sabr. He sometimes got angry. When he got angry, he walked out. But did he wait for them to come back? He went back. He went back. You can't wait for your wife to come back to you. Sometimes her pride is such. You say, I won't talk to you. She says, I won't talk to you also. Days and days will come. Then what? Someone has to talk someday. You will have to be the one to say, Allah's Nabi came back. You will have to come back. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.